Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Living Mythology, I'm proud to bring you Mythic Gaming with Tim Espy and Zach McAtee. Before we begin our show, I'll be sharing something from our archives. Dogs of Hades, the RPG, the Player's Manual. I've been questing for a truly mythic approach to space opera for quite some time, and I believe I finally found what I was seeking in Magnus Nygaard's Dogs of Hades, an RPG published by Savage Mojo. In this setting, mortals, facing the deadly and relentless wrath of Zeus, were whisked away by the goddess Athena and resettled on habitable planets called gardens. The mortals thrived in these gardens, evolved, and through Athena's guidance, they became mighty space-faring culture that seeks to civilize the barbarian people they encounter while manifesting their own divine destiny. Athena's garden is the jewel in Athena's crown, and the Athenians, the apple of her eye. At present, there is peace with the Olympians, who have come to them bearing gifts, and a truth with the Sacchalids, once the Atlanteans' greatest enemies. The Sacchalids are a disturbing paradox. Barbarians who are more civilized and technologically advanced than the blessed children of Athena. Dogs of Hades is a very human game, and it focuses on human interactions which are not always heroic, noble, or wise. The social structures, laws, and politics are Byzantine. There is pretense, deception, and treachery aplenty in this game. Fortunately, life's simplest, most enduring treasures can also be found there. One-sheet adventures such as Harpies, Young Love Aphrodite, and Young Love Hera often further gaming experiences, and the character sheets provide you with eccentric personalities that can easily be introduced into your scenarios. This Spartans in Space setting of Dogs of Hades, though vast, is but a drop in the sea of Savage Mojo's suzerain continuum, which offers a functional model for running an incomprehensibly vast and multi-thematic multiverse. In fact, all of the company's products emerge from, converge in, and strongly support the model. The Dogs of Hades Player's Guide whet my appetite, and I'm eagerly looking forward to exploring, then experiencing the entire setting. Thank you, Magnus Nygaard and Savage Mojo. And now onwards to Tim Espy and Zach McAtee. Good day, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good evening. Happy New Year.
Good evening. And Zach, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you, yes. So I was having a little bit of difficulty before. So Happy New Year to both of you. Anything new and exciting happening at the start of the year?
Hello, Happy New Year. Yeah, I guess we can start over what's going on at level one and everything.
Okay, that'd be awesome.
So we've been doing our normal stuff so far. Not too much has changed, but some stuff coming up is what is to talk about. But yeah, we've been doing our Thursday night commander event still for Magic the Gathering. Those have been very popular. Still getting a decent showing despite everything going on. But we still have our safety measures in place to keep everybody as safe as possible, of course. So our Thursday night commander nights are still really good. Still Fridays we're still doing our draft events. And Saturdays we've been doing our standard events as well as some commander stuff as well, because it's still that popular that it kind of requires two nights for it. So that's what's been going on with the current stuff. Luckily, stuff has been a little bit slow in terms of new releases for cards and everything. We're getting a little bit of a brief respite, if you will, for some card stuff. But there's some new stuff coming up in February, so we'll be ready for that. But yeah,
I'm surprised.
So
this has got to be the first time ever that I hear nothing coming out in one of our shows for Magic the Gathering or Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah. There's, you know, there's a few supplementary things that came out for Pokemon. Some, you know, some like little EV evolution boxes and stuff that were actually really nice, but no like big releases finally for once. The stuff coming up, actually some shop maintenance upgrades finally. Believe it or not, we've been in that store so this would be our sixth year coming up.
Wow.
So it's about that time to start doing, some little upgrades and stuff because, you know, stuff's getting a little tired. I mentioned that we got the new display cases in.
They're beautiful. I saw them.
Those have been working well and still really popular. So that was one thing. I have a friend that comes to the store that does graphics and graphic design and stuff. He did our vinyls for some of our cases, and he did he didn't do the art, but he put up the thing that's in our front window that has all the pictures of all the video game characters.
Uh-huh.
So he's going to be making us some logos for the front of those new display cases so that they say our name and everything to make it look a little bit nicer. We'll be getting some new fancy LED lights hopefully soon for the entire shop, so everything will be nice and bright and nice and new looking. Those are the couple big things that are coming up. And like I said, just some little minor upgrades and stuff in the back with the bathroom and everything. But just stuff, ease of living upgrades, if you will.
Well, those are all great things to hear about, and I'm glad it's still busy and that people are coming in and doing the competitions and the tournaments. And I'm surprised that nothing's coming out. I was so used to something coming out from Magic the Gathering, at least, which it's amazing how much stuff comes out from them.
Yeah, they've been really pushing a lot of product out. And then they still have their own, direct-to-consumer product that they do themselves on their website that's called Secret Lair. They still release those every so often. I honestly stopped keeping track because that was a lot of stuff, too. But they're always doing something.
Now, Strixhaven, I heard, came out as a D&D module now, or was coming out as a D&D module. Did I get that correct, or?
Yep. The setting of Strixhaven was a magic realm, but they adapted it into a D&D whole module. It's a whole separate book. A curriculum of chaos is what it's called, because it's based on, it's not quote unquote not Harry Potter, but it's five schools of magic that are run by mages, and so it's basically Harry Potter. But the RPG module came out semi recently. I think since I saw you last, beginning of December. But there's some new characters. Zach, I believe I sent you. There was a new owlkin character.
Yeah.
It's new adventures and new characters and stuff in the book, just like any other, new expansion.
And I hear Zach in the background. Zach, did you get a chance to look at this book? How was it?
I didn't get a chance to look through it. I've seen the cover, and the art's fantastic. And Tim sent me, they put out a little advanced blurb of, they're called, I can't remember what they're called. It's something like Alkin or Alakin, but they're, sentient owl folk. So they're just gigantic, fuzzy owl people. I know they had an interesting rule set that was added that people were talking about where, because it's a school setting, they have this whole new thing with mascots. So, like, your party can have a mascot, and you can have spells to, like, summon your mascot and do things like that. I don't know too much about it, but it sounded fun.
And is this something that people are asking for at level one to, like, have Strixhaven games?
Yeah, people actually frequently ask about it because they still do the local game shop, like, alternate cover where, you know, they have, like, the, you know, mass market cover, if you will, for lack of a better word. But then they also release an alternate cover that you can only get at, you know, Wizards, like, local game stores. So those ones are, you know, generally very popular and, you know, not that it's everything, but the resale value on the you know, secondary market is quite high because they are exclusive. But a lot of them are really, really nice and cool uploaded covers. I showed you the Theros one, I believe.
Yes.
That one was really cool with the constellation gods and everything. It was really nice. But yeah, that's a nice thing that that Wizards does.
Yeah, they'll probably add a whole other dimension to the games in that now mages can go to school and have like an organized structure there. And I'm sure there are specialty spells in each school and different types of magic being covered by each of the schools. So it should make it really interesting. I'm sure also they have lots of NPCs and maps, and so saves the DM a lot of work.
Yeah. Like, the way that the schools worked was that it was what it was called previously was called guilds for magic, when, like, two colors were put together, like red and white becomes called Boros, and green and blue becomes Simic. You know, there's a bunch of different combinations. But for Strixhaven, they call them different things. Like, red and white was called Lorehold. You know, they cover different styles of magic, like, based on what the colors in magic are related to.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I'm curious about that I wish I read through was some of the, like, headmasters are planeswalkers undercover in the school.
Okay.
So I'm curious that in the RPG book, if you can, you know, meet up with them and maybe find out if they are who they say they are. Because Liliana is undercover and her name is Professor Onyx in the Strixhaven school. So I'm curious if you can run into Professor Onyx, you know, and see what comes of it.
Well, in your individual campaign, you certainly can. you could, you know, pretty
right,
much
yeah.
Start with that premise and introduce it into your campaign. I was going to ask you that. That was a question I was going to ask you. Last time I put a lot of energy and attention into Magic the Gathering, it was during Theros. And I read a few books and then I watched a bunch of videos and a couple of e-articles. And it seemed like they had, from when the Magic the Gathering started, they had made the planeswalkers a bit more human and they had kind of knocked them down a few power levels, and then they came up with a cast of characters that you could also play and introduce into your campaign. So are they still doing that? It seems now that they're really developing the worlds of Magic.
Yeah. Every set that comes out, they explore a little bit of a planeswalker and their backstory and everything, and saying, you know, how they found their spark and everything. But yeah, they're still developing new planeswalkers, so they're still hard at work on all of that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then the prices remained high for, like, the box sets, and they just seem to endlessly churn them out. I see them everywhere, the Magic cards.
Yeah, it's the most popular still. In terms of, like, playing wise, I believe Pokemon is the highest selling franchise thing of, like, ever. but in terms of, you know, playability wise, Magic has the highest player base of any card game.
Now, so people are still coming in and doing the Pokemon, as you said. Where do you see Pokemon going? Like, because it's evolved a great deal. And, you know, I saw a video recently that some policemen during, like, they were covering, like, a bank heist or something. They got fired for playing Pokemon Go while they were supposed to be monitoring the bank robbery. And so it is very popular, and I'm assuming all sorts of people are doing that, not just errant policemen.
Yeah, I saw that same article. They were trying to catch a Snorlax or something, I believe. But yeah, so in terms of cards, the new set that's coming out is kind of, it's not reintroducing something. It's a play on something that was in the past. Back in the day, Zach, you might remember what era exactly, but it was the top and bottom cards, the split cards.
Are we talking Pokemon or Magic?
Yeah, Pokemon. I forget what era that was.
I believe that started with Heart Gold, Soul Silver, but I could be wrong.
Yeah,
I know that
one of the
Ho-Oh and Lugia were some of the first ones. I just don't remember if it was like the first Heart Gold set or not.
Right, but it was one of the older sets where you had a top and a bottom to the card, and you put them together, and they became more powerful. But with this new set, they're called Union cards, and instead of two, it's four total pieces that you put together. Each card, like each quarter card, has its own move set and HP and everything. But when you put them all together, they'll give you a different effect that is the strongest effect altogether. I try to stay away from spoilers from the new Pokemon sets because I like to be surprised with them. So I've only seen a few, and like one of the special box sets they released was a Pokemon or a Pikachu one where it has like almost all of the arts on one big card. So that looked really nice. But yeah, so that's what they're doing in terms of the card game. But the new game that's coming out for the Nintendo Switch is the new video game. It's Pokemon Legend Arceus, where it's their first kind of take on like a big open world RPG where you're just walking around, and if you run into a Pokemon, you can just run up to it and then fight it or capture it. Zach, did you watch the new trailer for it? I only watched the one reveal trailer, and then that was it. I knew I'm going to buy it anyway, so again, I wanted to be surprised.
Yeah. They put out a couple more trailers detailing some of the characters who are like ancestors of some of the characters from Diamond and Pearl because it's the same country. But they haven't revealed any new Pokemon yet. I'm still got my fingers crossed that Cyndaquil is going to get some kind of different final form, and rumors are that all three of the starters do, but we don't know for sure yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I remember the ones that they showed off were really cool. The one that was in the water, who was it?
Basculin, because it's Basculegion now or something.
Yeah. His form looked really cool.
And Zach, anything new with any card type of games in your world? I know you're very up on the Pokemon.
Let's see, card games. I did get a Kickstarter recently. I feel like I say that almost every show, but it's because I backed a bunch of stuff the past like 2 years that all got delayed because it's COVID. So like now everything's coming through, you know, but I did get a card game. It's a 2-4 player game called Gloom. I think you played it, or you said you knew someone who had it.
Gloom.
Idea is it's kind of, it's like an Addams Family-esque type of situation where you get four family members who all live together in a mansion, and you're trying to make them have the most tragic and terrible life story before killing them. And the winner is whoever has the most negative points on all their characters. So it's just like a really fun tongue-in-cheek thing, but the really cool thing aesthetically is all of the cards are completely clear. So if you have a character, they have like a little oval with the picture of the character in the center, their name at the top, and like a little flavor text at the bottom. And let's say I want to play some kind of sad event. So one of the sad events maybe is someone stole their car. So if I played that on top of the card, that card is also clear, except for the circle that indicates how many positive or negative points it's adding to the person. And you keep playing cards on your and your opponent's cards, trying to give your guys negative points and your opponent's positive points. And then eventually you have death cards, which you can play, and that basically seals a character so that they can't be modified any further. But then at the end of the game, only dead characters count towards points. So you want to try and kill off your whole family before somebody else does, because the game shuts off as soon as one family is completely dead. A lot of fun. They encourage storytelling when you play cards. So as long as, like, you'll get more out of it if you have a group of people who enjoy doing that sort of thing, which we did, because you just sit there and come up with these like ridiculously over tragic stories for these people, and you know, all these weird convoluted ways that their lives get messed up. So that was enjoyable. I would like to play that with Tim at some point, because I think he would get a kick out of it.
Are they literally clear, like transparent, or?
Yeah, it's they're transparent, and then it's either monochrome art or red is the only color in the game. And so I'll send you pictures after this, but it's really cool to look at the way that they designed it.
Yeah. So, Zach, you remember the way that I kind of heard about it was, I'm holding it in my hand right now, in one of, like, the trade magazines that we get at the store, they put in a sample card of it. And the art was just so cool that I took it to put in my magic binder, because it was really cool. Like the back has the, you know, the raven or the crow on the skull. You know, it says rest in peace on it, but this one says shot by a scorpion.
Yes.
You can play this sometime with death on the character with the icon of their, regardless of their self-worth score.
Yeah, so usually you can only kill a character if they have negative self-worth, which is when you would want to, because then they're going to be worth more points for you. But that's saying that you can do it even if they have positive self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the cards are really cool. They're almost like that deck building game, Zach, as well.
Yeah, Mystic Veil.
Yeah, Mystic Veil, yep.
So you rate this game highly then?
I would say mechanics-wise, it's probably only like a 6 out of 10, 5 out of 10. But fun-wise, it was closer to like a 7 or an 8 because we got into like the storytelling element. So it's definitely like it's not the most strategic game. And it's more or less just you're constantly going back and forth trying to play cards on certain things, but as long as you lean into the story element, it's a lot of fun.
Have to look into it. Gloom, right?
Yeah, Gloom, and then the one I have is actually, they kickstarted a sequel called Gloomier, so I have that one. It arrived, and it came with like a little promo card, and they have this new thing called Gloom Chronicles, where you can kind of almost do a legacy type thing with it. I haven't tried that yet, though.
Very cool. So any other card news at all, or should we move on to board games?
Yep, that was the perfect segue, because I was going to say, speaking of Kickstarters, I got an email from my The Thing board game that I Kickstarted however long ago. The shipment is, I was going to send you a picture, Zach. The shipment, they sent a picture of the big container ship that it was on. So it's on the way here. So hopefully, you know, within the next month or two, the game should arrive. And again, like I've been saying, I just kind of haven't been looking too much at the pictures and everything. I'll read, you know, the emails, but I try to stay away from the pictures, just so I'm super surprised when I open up the box. But it seems promising, so hopefully it plays well. The it got backed pretty well. So the figures and everything, the little minifigures that it comes with, and then nice like tokens and stuff, they all got upgraded to the nicer versions of them and everything. So hopefully it feels nice at least. And then Zach just sent me a thing just before where he's bought, I believe he bought two in the past now, Zach, right? The bags.
Two, because I gave you the first one.
Right. Zach can explain them a little more, but they're carrying bags for board games that are really nice, like big. They can wear them like as a backpack, or you can carry them as a duffel bag. They just did a new Kickstarter for new bags, and then they did one they called like a lightweight bag, and it was only $7, where it almost looks like a lunchbox, but it says that it holds 4 Ticket to Ride size board games, so is quite large, and holds 20 pounds for $7.
Yeah.
So sure, why not? You know, we'll give it a shot. So I bought one of those, and then the main thing that I bought it for was they released play mats, but large size play mats for board game tables. So I've talked in the past how I have my custom board game table that a local woodworker made, but I wanted to get like a nice mat for the top of it where we don't use the sunken down part of it. And so Zach sent me their new Kickstarter from the bag company, and they're also doing the play mat. So I ended up getting one of those that fits just perfect, Zach. So we'll have like a little bit of like is on the thing. And I got it in red, so that it should look good against the wood and stuff.
So are these items available in stores? Will they ever be available in stores, or is it just something you hook into in Kickstarter, and then you can eventually get them like on eBay or through a website or through Amazon?
So with this company, the company's name is actually literally just boardgametables.com. They do have a website where they will sell stuff after it gets produced, and so they'll do it until they run out, and then they'll do another Kickstarter to make more. So when I went to Origins, they had a section set up over there where they were displaying both the game bags as well as a couple of the games that they've produced, because they have recently gotten into that. So I mentioned before a game called Kabuto Sumo, which is like a coin-pushing game. So you're like pushing little wooden coins onto the board, trying to knock other people out. That was made by these guys. And so they were demoing that and a couple other games at Origins as well. So they will sell most of the bags online. I don't know if they have a physical store, but I believe they're from the Midwest, so they might have one out there. But they will sell the bags on there as long as they have stock. Typically, I think they keep, like, there's 2 or 3 colors they always keep in stock. But a big thing with the Kickstarters is they do extra color variants so that you can get different ones. I'm not sure if they're going to have those in regular rotation or not.
Interesting. You discussed so many interesting games. And, again, it's been a while since I went to a game store. But I don't really see these things on the open market. So I was just wondering.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen them anywhere in person besides when I went to Origins.
I remember when I lived in New York years ago, there was the Complete Strategist, and that was like nothing, almost nothing on board games and RPGs. And you could spend like all day just looking at the shelves. And if you went to some of the bottom shelves, you could find stuff from decades previously that was still there on the shelf.
Yeah, that's. I go to the Complete Strategist every once in a while when I head into the city.
Oh, it's still there. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they've changed locations. I know the location they're at now is kind of small, but only because it's completely overflowing with all the stuff they have. So, like, the aisles are super tight because they have so many, like, stacks of just, here's a bunch of board games stacked up on the floor and you know, that kind of thing.
They were in the 30s. Last time was on the other side of the Empire State Building, like more toward the east side. They had a couple of satellite stores, one in the 50s, and I don't remember where the other one was. But again, it's been decades.
Yeah, I know that they're still open. I don't know which one is the – I don't know the address offhand. But yeah, I've stopped there a couple times, and they do a nice ordering service through their website too, where you can search their stock and then have them ship stuff directly to you. I think they started that right about the start of the pandemic. And that was actually very easy to navigate. I found some cool stuff that way that I hadn't found anywhere else.
I got to look them up online now. Any other cool board games?
Recently, I got a game called The Royal Visit. It's a two-player game. I've been trying to get a bit more of those over the past couple of years for obvious reasons. But so the art on this one's really nice. I sent Tim a picture, and it has a very... how would you describe the color palette, Tim? Because I know there's a word for it, but I can't think of it.
Right. It's not like pastel-y, but...
Yeah.
I
don't want to say that it's not green, it's mint. You know, like it's like that. Like that's the color palette. Things are like very vibrant, slightly shifted hues off like this quote-unquote standard version of the color.
Right. It's not purple, it's mauve.
Yeah, yeah. But so the game's fairly simple. The components are very nicely made. The board is actually a nice little fabric rollout board as opposed to being cardboard. And it comes with five wooden little meeples, but they're screen printed on both sides. The idea is you and the other player are both like dukes or, you know, counts, countesses. But you have castles in the same canyon. The king is passing through on a tour of the country, and both of you are hoping to convince the king to spend the night at your castle because it will bring honor to your family for generations, and then you can rub it in the other castle's face, you know? So the whole game is just, it's a board of just track spaces, and the king starts in the exact center. He has a wizard and a jester who go on either side of him, and then on either side of them, there are two guards. On your turn, you're going to play one character's type of card, and you'll move those character pieces however the cards dictate. The important rule is that the king can never move past his guards. So you want to get the king to your castle. That means you need to get one of the guards to your castle and then get the king there, because the king can't move past them. He can only move between them. And so it's like a back and forth where you can either win by getting the king to the last two tracks on your side of the board. You can win by if you have any of the characters in those spaces at the end of your turn, you get points for that, and you can win that way. And then if the game shuts off after the deck runs out the second time, you just say, whose courtyard is he in? That person's the winner. It's very fun. It's surprisingly strategic, and I've played it, I think, four or five times already, and I only got it like a week ago.
So, Tim, have you tried this one yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't tried that one yet.
And it's set in medieval times or pseudo medieval times?
Yeah, it's like fantasy medieval times.
Okay. So that sounds interesting and exciting. And I could easily see weaving it into a role-playing game, you know, where you could continue the adventures from the board in a campaign, and it's very adaptable.
Yeah, maybe like one of the families hires the party members to convince the king to come visit their place, that kind of thing.
I'd spoken about this, I think, last time or the time before. I'm starting a new series called Mythic Monsters, and we did a couple of prelude shows in like November and December, and now we're continuing in January, and this week we're doing Hydras. So we're going to talk about Hydras in like movies, and are any of you guys versed in Hydras in gaming? I could invite you in as like a guest.
The only Hydras I know are what's in Magic: The Gathering.
Okay.
I know a couple video games that have Hydras in them, but I'm trying to think. I don't know if I have any board games that do. I'm sure that there are some. I just don't think I have any.
Okay. I know there were a couple of board games. Like there was the Mythology that was based on the computer game, and they had Hydras in it. And then there was another board game, I think called Olympus, from way back when Yakinto was a company putting out Manmyth and Magic. And that game had Hydras in it. But I don't know very many that has Hydras in them.
Yeah, I know that role-playing games have a ton of them. I know there's a lot of Greek-themed games. I remember playing one that my aunt and uncle had. I can't remember. I think it was called Colosseum or something similar. But the idea was it was a fantasy world. So everything fighting in the Colosseum were various Greek monsters. And you were basically betting on which monster you wanted to win. So you weren't playing as any one monster. You were trying to like manipulate the odds so that a specific one would win and give you a best payout kind of thing. I remember that had a Hydra in it. I cannot remember what the actual name was. I only got to play it once, and it was at this point probably like 15 years ago.
Yeah, there's so many games come out. I've been locating stuff that I remembered from when I was much younger and like finding it. I've been questing for it. That sounds like something I would have liked because it's very different. Normally it would be competent against competent, but this sounds much more intriguing and multi-layered.
Yeah, I'll ask Nick and Diane if I can describe it well enough. Maybe they'll be able to tell me what the name is, and I'll send you that info if I get it.
Okay, and if either of you are interested in talking about Hydras and games, just let me know, and I'll invite you in for like 5-10 minutes, and you could talk about that. It's going to be an ongoing show. We're having at least one a month, and we've done vampires, ancient Greek vampires. We're doing Hydras, Gorgons, and just generally vampires and werewolves in upcoming episodes.
Sounds
so
cool.
If not Hydras, any of these other monsters, just let me know, and I'll invite you in as guests. You have Zoom capability,
yeah,
right? And you've used Zoom before?
Yeah, I've used it once or twice. I don't have an account. I've done like just hop in as a guest things, but yeah, I've used it a couple times.
Okay, both of you, just let me know. I'll invite you in as guests, and we'll put in a game segment, and we'll listen to that. I'm of the belief that all of these. Like the gaming mythology is just like comic book mythologies are real mythology. There are mythology, there are folklore. So we preserve the memory of these things through our folklore and through our mythology, and gaming certainly does that. And anytime you have some interest in speaking about a particular monster, just let me know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Onward then to
there's a whole bunch of zombies to talk about in video games. So
even from Nintendo days, I remember from before Nintendo games with the ColecoVision and the Atari and Intellivision and Odyssey. Yeah, there were always the undead to watch out for. Any new RPGs or any RPG news?
Okay, so I don't think I mentioned this before. Correct me if I have. I backed one about a month, 2 months ago called Be Like a Crow on Kickstarter. The idea is it's a solo RPG, so you do it by yourself as almost like a journaling exercise using a deck of cards with prompts and things like that. But they also, as part of the Kickstarter like stretch goals, they added in a multiplayer version. So the idea is you play as a type of corvid, so crows, ravens, rooks, magpies, blue jays, etc. And there's, I think, 4 different settings. It's medieval fantasy, modern times. I think one of them was like a sci-fi future, and there was another one I can't remember. But you know, it's just like a little fun, goofy thing where you're playing as a bird and interacting with the world around you. So very much a Zach game. So I backed that literally as soon as I found it, which is no surprise to anybody who knows me. But we the guy running it is pretty cool, and he's every time he sends out an email, he includes like a video of like crows doing something funny or something like that. But so I'm excited for that one, and I believe it's a quick turnaround because it's a rather brief rules booklet. It's relatively light on the mechanics, so I think that's expected to get here before the summer, unless there's some production delays. But so that one I'm excited for. I recently backed. They made a Power Rangers RPG that comes out next week. It'll start shipping, and so I'll get the PDF next week because I pre-ordered it. But that sounds like a lot of fun, and they also built that so that you can play it solo if you want, which they call Green Ranger mode, because he was kind of like a solo act when he first showed up in the show. But so that sounds fun, and they've definitely gotten the tone down. It's a company, Renegade, that they have done a bunch of Power Rangers games, board games and card games up until now. And like, they very much know what they're doing with it. So I've read through what little they've revealed of the rules, and it seems like it's going to be fun. Tim, I'm expecting you to play in a game of that at some point.
Yeah, I can mention something very briefly about that actually for once. In one of the Discords that I'm in, they were talking about the Power Rangers RPG, and it's a Hasbro property. So there's Power Rangers, there's G.I. Joe, and there's Transformers, all mm-hmm. three. And it's using like the article is talking about the new RPG system called Essence 20.
Yep.
I haven't even seen anything about that.
All three of the titles are going to be using it. It's like the new system they developed. From what they revealed, I watched like a little video of like how to make a character and like a little brief idea of how play would work. It seems like every single ability you have starts as a D2, which is basically just a coin. And then you will increase the type of die you roll. So what they do is for every single roll, you're rolling a D20, but you're also rolling whatever die is tied to that ability and keeping the best of the two results. So if you have a D8 in, I don't know, speed, you would roll a D20 and a D8. And if the D8 maybe rolled a 7 and the D20 rolled a 5, you would keep the D8. Or if the D20 rolled an 18, then you would keep that instead.
That's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how it works in action. I know that from what they've said about the level scaling, because obviously a big problem with these kinds of things is, they have giant robots, you know, so you got to figure out how to scale that properly. And from what they said in the video, it seems like all that stuff is tied to the group's level. So, like, they won't get access to the robots until they're level 3 or 4, and then they have to go more levels after that until they can fuse the robots. And so it seems like they definitely thought about how difficult it would be to balance.
But they did give a thought, and they came up with a solution. So I'm looking forward to learning how that plays.
Yeah, I should get the PDF. I think it's next when it's the 26th, whatever day of the week that is next week, is when the PDF will go out and the physical stuff will be mailed. I backed the regular players, the regular book and a DM screen. But they had, and I, oh my God, Jamie had to talk me down from buying it. They had a $300-something special edition set of 6 copies of the core book, but each one, the covers were a solid color with the original Rangers colors and with their helmet on the front. So it was like a box set of all of them. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, I don't need this. I don't even have 6 people to give these to, but I want it so much. Yeah.
Yes, I know that feeling.
And actually, yeah, and it's a fun fact I don't think either of you know, is one of my first forays into RPG stuff was I designed a system based off of Power Rangers. And I did not tell my friends what the system was going to be. So one person knew, my cousin Harry, And we walked through, we made everybody's characters, and they were high school students, and they all ended up in detention through various means. And then once they were all there, the school gets attacked by a bunch of the monsters, and suddenly they get teleported. And so they have no idea what's going on, and I had all the lights off, and then my cousin put like a flashlight under his face, because the guy who basically gives them their powers, Zordon, looks like a floating head in a jar kind of thing. And so he put like a flashlight under his face and he's just like, "Rangers, we need your help." You know, and everybody lost it. it was great.
So I can see why you would want all six covers and how this is something that you would definitely get for yourself. Yeah, I wasn't aware.
Yeah,
that
it
you
was
were,
very tough enough to.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that you were into the Power Rangers that much.
I haven't kept up with them, but I was like huge into it when I was a kid, and I've always been like in love with that kind of genre of like the schlocky action stuff. So like about 5 years ago or so, I got into Kamen Rider, which is a very similar type of show, but the idea is like Power Rangers focuses on a team. Kamen Rider usually is just one person with a supporting cast who doesn't transform. Very, very big in Japan.
Are either of you into Stargate?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, I was very excited. They came out with a new Stargate role-playing game, and they also are coming out with a couple of either computer games or video games. So I love that franchise. I haven't watched it in quite a while. It's been off the air in quite a while. But I got very excited about that. I have the old Stargate rule books from when D&D 3.0 and 3.5 were out. They did a bunch of them.
How did that series start? Was it a show or was it?
It was a movie, a science fiction movie.
Okay.
Then it came out as a series of books continuing the science fiction movie and some comic books. Then I believe it was like original comic books that had nothing to do or very little to do with the original story, except thematically. And then it came out as a TV show. And a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the TV show, SG-1, it was called, Stargate SG-1.
Yeah.
It ran for like a decade.
That's my only familiarity with it.
And then there was Stargate Atlantis. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. My mom, I think, used to watch it because I remember seeing it on TV every once in a while. But I never got into it myself.
And then there was Stargate Atlantis, Stargate Universe, and the cartoon lasted for a season or two. Then, again, there were more comics, but they were based on the new Stargate universe that emerged from the shows. And then there were countless books and other things. There was a game. I still have the game somewhere. But anyway, I was excited about that, and it leads us into our last category of video games. Anything new and exciting in the video game world or in the computer game world or in the online gaming world?
Yeah, I have something I can talk about for a second. Other than I know I've talked about the new God of War in the past, the one that was for PlayStation 4, finally got its PC port release. And at a discounted price as well for only $40, which is definitely worth it. But so that's finally available on PC now as well, and the port turned out really, really, really well. My one friend is playing it right now, and it's he's really liking it. So it's good to hear about that. But the game that I've been playing most recently is a game called Monster Train. I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with it. It's I play it on PC. I'm not sure if it's available anywhere else, but I have it for PC, where it's a culmination of a lot of different mechanics and ideas put into one. I've talked about a game in the past called Slay the Spire, where it's like a deck-building game where you choose, you know, one of four characters, and that's like your base character and the cards that you the deck building game, climbing up a spire and killing enemies along the way. But the cards are determined by what champion you choose, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So what monster train is it's the seven layers of hell and you trying to escape it, on a train that's powered by, the only like source of energy left called the pyre. So your goal is to get that and, escape through the seven layers to escape with it. But through the different levels, there's, you know, monsters that board your train and, you have to kill them and then the boss to get to the next level. But what makes it unique is that it's a draft, like a deck building game. But you choose, your main champion, who is, like your commander, if you will, where the cards that you get are also based on your champion that you choose, but you also choose an ally clan that, you get their supporting cards, in your starting deck. So you don't get their champion with the ally clan, but you get their supporting cards with it. But how it differs from Slay the Spire is that, with Slay the Spire, you only have your one champion that you, play as. But with Monster Train, you're also drafting other monsters as well as other spells that you're casting. So with the monsters, there's three different tiers to your train, place your characters on, and they kill the monsters that spawn on those levels to beat them before they get to your pyre. So it adds a level of more complexity with it, because you also have to move around your monsters to stop the enemy monsters from climbing your trains and killing your pyre, as well as, you know, keeping track of what spells you have left and everything. So there's just more mechanics to it than just a normal deck building game. So it's monster placement and like worker placement and worker movement along with deck building. It's an interesting take on it, and it seemed like really overwhelming when I was watching my one friend play it, but once you get comfortable with it, it's just like any other deck building and monster placement game. It's been really good. I got it last week, and I already have like, I don't know, 30-something hours into it, I think, already.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
32 hours. Yeah, so pretty much just that's what's been taking up my time. But it's been fun. It's a good game, definitely.
Thank you, Zach. Have you played that, or are you playing anything video game wise?
I haven't played that. I'm recently started going through a game called Control, which I think Tim might have talked about on here before. It's by Remedy Studios, who are the people who made Alan Wake, which is one of both of our favorite games. And it's mm-hmm. it's set in the same universe, basically, but it's a very different game. If you're familiar with the SCP online stories, it's very similar to that. It's like a governmental agency that deals with odd happenings and items that have weird qualities. So, like, there'll be, oh, there's a fridge that if nobody's looking at it, it destroys something nearby. So if someone has to be watching it, like, all the time, or there's, you know, a water cooler that will change into different office stationery. It doesn't do anything else. Doesn't do anything harmful, but don't drink from it. You know, like all this weird stuff like that. But that's been really fun so far.
That sounds sufficiently strange.
Yeah.
My wife and my son.
Remedy makes some really fun stuff.
My wife and my son told me about something. I don't remember what it was called, but it seems to be a journaling type thing. It sounds kind of like a game, but it's not a regular game they're familiar with. It's like a journaling game where people do like fake paranormal things, and they include graphics with them, and these things are interactive. I have to find out what it was called and how to find it, but it sounded sufficiently different from anything I'd encountered to be worth a look-see, and I figured if you guys knew anything about it, we can shed more light on it.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah,
I unfortunately do not know what it is.
Yeah, I would be curious to hear what that is exactly. So But the SCP thing that Zach is talking about is like it's a website called the SCP Foundation where it's all user submitted short stories and that tell different weird stories of different artifacts and everything that this company at the SCP Foundation Secure, Contain, Protect, I believe, right, Zach?
Yep.
And that they're tasked with, you know, taking care of these artifacts or creatures or whatever. But like Zach said, Control is very adjacent to that, very similar ideas, but still its own unique thing. And how it's tied into the Alan Wake universe and everything, there's some cool stuff.
So do you want to add this to our monthly cycle of things that we cover?
Yeah, I want Zach's full review by when he's done with it to see what he thinks of the ending and everything.
It sounds like it might be the same thing that my wife and my son were talking about, because they were talking about, like, there was some organization and to get these things, and again, the things do really weird things, and it might be the same thing.
Yeah,
either that or something.
It's an online. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it might be an ARG, an alternate reality game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So an alternate reality game, they, I believe, got famous as marketing tools, if I remember correctly. But effectively, it's when somebody builds a website or a series of videos, perhaps, that are supposedly real, taking place in our universe or an adjacent type universe, where if people online have an interactivity with it in that they can slowly try and figure out the story by maybe completing puzzles or, you know, finding secret web pages that have recordings on them and all sorts of stuff. They're really fascinating.
If we had more time, I'd get into that, because I've encountered that before. Movies sometimes use those in their alternate realities that they're trying to draw us into. But again, we don't have more time, and I'd love for you guys to share your contact information, any closing thoughts, and we'll start with Tim.
You can find us Level One Games. We're in Pompton Plains, right on Route 23. Our online presence is pretty much Facebook and Instagram. I think it's L1G Store, but if you just type in Level One Games on either one, it comes up. Anything that, any new trades, there's been a bunch of new trades and, some really good stuff that's been coming in, into the store. Whenever we get stuff like that, it gets, posted up on there along with, new products like new deck boxes and new RPGs and, anything that we get, gets all posted up there. And, if you have any questions, the best way is just to reach out through there. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And Zach?
You can always drop me an email at mrmunnin@gmail.com or find me on Facebook.
Thank you. Short and sweet. Thanks to both of you. I really enjoyed speaking with you. And the robot informs us that we have 90 seconds. So thanks again. Happy New Year to you and yours. And I look forward to our next show. And hopefully I'll see you before then.
Yes, Happy New Year. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you called and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And we're going to end, as we usually do, with If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you